to glorify you, exalt you, Lord. None like you, Lord. No one can satisfy, just you. Just you, Lord. No one can satisfy. No one can touch us like you do. Thank you for your presence. We glorify you. We magnify you. Jesus. Only you, Lord. Only you. We worship you, Lord. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. His grace. You see, one thing about His grace. Your good works won't bring it. Your bad works wouldn't hinder it from coming. Wouldn't. The governing factor is that He chose some people. He called some people who couldn't save themselves. He got them saved. That was by His grace. That's you. And that's me. He called us to be His clients in the earth. He called us by His grace. So your good works couldn't help it, because how much do you know about Him or what He's done that you can stand before Him and say, I deserve to be saved. I deserve a blessing. I did this, I did that. I did this work and I did that work. I need my blessing now. How many of us can say that? None. Not a single man. It was by His grace that He brought us out of and brought us to where we are. Give us a new nature. Give us a spirit that we can stand before and say, I don't have to sin. I'm not going to listen to you, devil. It's by His grace. Are you with me? And our good works can bring it. Our bad habits won't stop it from being His grace over our lives. Because many times we're falling from our bad works, but His grace was still there with us to carry us, to bring us. Just like He rains on the just and on the unjust, the same. His grace is hanging over them, waiting for them to realize that, you mean I was saved 2,000 years ago? Hallelujah. It's by His grace. We can't stop it. We can't. We can't. You can't. So you make a beeline to sin. Okay, you sin. There come a place that before you get really lost, you say, I think I better just bring you home. It's still His grace. Hallelujah. It is still His grace. It just receives you home. Hallelujah. So we got somebody who's really watching over us. When He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. Amen. So we press on. He's got some things to talk to us about today, and I just pray we get into that, because hallelujah. My prayer is the word comes, that's all, you know? And as the word comes, let it just come. Amen?
Amen.
Let it just come. Let it just come. Let it just come. Because He wants to take us from one place to another place. And I was so excited. Pastor slipped me something today. It's called Something About Perfection. And we've been teaching on perfection in New York. How many know He heard it from the same place? So this is about perfection. So don't get offended. Because to get offended is to be the offended. And you being the offended has nothing to do with the guy who's not offended. Are you with me? To be offended is to be the offended. You can't receive. You can't go. You can't be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen? So what we're trying to see here today is that there's some things that God wants us to understand about His grace and His sovereignty. And we see in the book of the book of 2 Kings. We see Elisha in there. Hallelujah. Elisha has a book too, but we just don't know it. That's all. Hallelujah. 2 Kings. There it is. 2 Kings. And we see Elisha. There you go. 2 Kings chapter 13. We see Elisha here in the in somewhere. 2 Kings chapter 13. I begin reading at the 14th verse. We see something's happening here. We see Elisha on his deathbed. And we need to really see where God is trying to say to us, because there's certain things. There's His sovereignty that we have to access. His sovereignty. Because of His grace, there's His sovereignty in there too. And there's certain things that He called us to do. And there's certain things, because this is working the work. We're drawing a little closer tonight. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so we see in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14, Elisha's on his deathbed and the king of Israel comes to him, Joash, and he says, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He's crying out because Syria is out there surrounding them and is about to take them out. Are you with me tonight?
Hallelujah.
The enemy is about to take them out. And Elijah's on his deathbed and he knows he's going to die. So he comes to the king, to the man of God, and he says, now, you got bow and arrows? He says, yeah, take your bow and arrows. He says, point it eastward. He says, now, open the window. He says, now, that's what you're going to do. I'm going to put my hand on you. I'm going to join with you in this and I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to speak. He says, now shoot! And he shoots! And he says, the arrow of deliverance of Israel. The arrow of deliverance. And he said, now, take your other arrow. Strike the ground. Strike it and smite. Smite them. He takes it and he smites it. One, two, three times. And the Bible says the man of God gets so upset with him. He says, why did you not smite them five or six times? He says, now you're going to have to battle them again. Is there a place in God that when he begins to open up, or he opens up a window of operation, open up a window of his spirit, open up a window of his sovereignty, that you have something to do with it? Is there a place in God? He says, why did you not continually smite the ground until they were totally, totally destroyed? That's what the question he asked this man. He says, now you're going to have to deal with them again. Is there a place in God that he says, listen to me, if you don't do it, I won't do it? Is there a place in God when he opens the door before you, he says, now it's wide open. He says, I can't walk through it for you, but if you don't go, I won't go. But as long as you're going, as long as you're smiting them, as long as you're exercising your faith, as long as you're advancing, as long as you're taking, I'm with you. As long as you take it, when you stop, I stop. Hallelujah. Is there a place that God leaves us our human responsibility to operate in His sovereignty? We're going to move on to perfection. Is that okay?
Hallelujah.
We're beginning to see. We're going to see some things because it's there. And we need to operate in it because He's calling us to it, because that's our call. This is the governing factor. He called a people out of this world to call His own, that they will operate like Him, do what He says, and just represent Him in the world. You know we're ambassadors. Are you with me, church?
Hallelujah.
So this is where we're called to. So this, it seems like something is happening. And we need to grab a hold of it. So where does this start? Where does it end? If we can understand this. But if we messed up about it, we're really going to be messed up. But He doesn't want us to be messed up. He wants us to really grab a hold of it, because every day in life, some men say, the door is open to you. Walk right in. And some people say, yes, I know it's going to happen someday. But now is the day. Are you with me, church? Now is the day that the supernatural is not only there, you understand it, you move in it, you flow with it, and as long as the door is open, you continuously operate in it nonstop. God will continuously flow with you. That's the season we're entering. That's the season, because the witches, the warlocks, they're out there performing the supernatural right before the eyes of the people, and they are now seeing and believing that that is another God. That is God. That's not Him. Are you with me, church? You begin to see them do all kinds of weird things, and they say that it. They got a TV program, a guy's prophesying and telling them according to Mars and Jupiter and the sign and this and that, and you in Aquarius and all that foolishness. Are you with me, church? And people are just spending money and money and money. There's some guy out there calling himself Jesus. We got to do something about it. Are you with me, church? We need to understand. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4. We see here is another issue. The woman, the widow with the oil. You remember that one? The oil. Hallelujah. The Bible says, now, there in 2 Kings chapter 4, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, thy servant, thy husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and thy creditor has come to take him and my two sons into bondmen, to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for you? What hast thou in thy house? Thy handmaiden says nothing. I have a pot of oil. And he says, Go borrow thee vessels abroad. He says, go borrow, listen to the words of the man. He says, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. She did. He says, now take your boys, go in there, close the door. He then began to pour the oil into that vessel and pour. And as long as she was pouring the oil, the Lord was there. His sovereignty, His grace, His presence, the anointing of increase continue until the last vessel. And when she finally came to her, he said, where's he? And the boy said, there's no other vessel. She should have said, no, boy, there's no vessel here, but you go get me some more vessel. Are you with me? And he would have kept pouring. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When God opens up a door, opens up a window, there's an access. He doesn't. What he did to the Jew, he would do to you. Hello? The window is open. Revelation is open. We're seeing things now. We're looking back at those men, great men who live in lesser days. We're the lesser men living in greater days. We're looking at them and learning from them. Are you with me? And learning what God is showing, that these are windows and this is opening up, and we need to walk in it. We need to walk in it. So we begin to see now that there's something about His sovereignty. And as long as you're doing what you're doing, God will continually match you along the way as you continuously go. He won't stop, but the moment you stop, He stops. The moment you stop, He stops. I would have said, no, boy. No. Go down to Fort Myers and get me some. When you run out of Fort Myers, let's go up until we get to Orlando. Are you understanding something? Are you understanding revival? Are you understanding the Spirit? That's what he said. You have something to do with the sovereignty of God. You have something to accelerate it. Your human participation is so important to you, to him. He wants the people that won't quit on Him. Are you with me tonight? He wants the people that won't quit on Him. And we need to understand that. If we can just grab a hold of that and settle this on the inside of us, when God opens a window, we don't say it's just for me. Are you with me? It's continuous. It's continuous every day, morning, night. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? Because all it has to take is one miracle in this place. And they begin to come through that door. I heard about it on the radio. I brought my child from Chicago. You're going to say, no problem. God is still here. Let's do it. Are you with me? Next and next and next and next. Because the door is open. The window is open. You must understand it. Let's understand His grace and His sovereignty. When He pours it out, it is up to you to do something. And yet still, there are conditions that you can do all you can, and there's nothing else you can do. And He shows up and He does it for you. He shows up and He does it for you. The widow at Nain, she's there. Going out of the fence with a lot of people. Her son is in a casket. And she's walking out. Jesus walking into town with His boys and a lot of people with Him also. And here she going. And Bible days, you know, Bible days, women don't work. Who's going to work the fields? Who's going to feed her? That's her life insurance policy. That's her health insurance there. That's her food. That's her safety. That's her protection. That's everything going out. Her only son, because the husband is dead. What could she do? Nothing. But he comes, and he touched that casket, raises her up. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He'll do it both ways. Sometimes there's absolutely nothing you can do. But He comes in and He does it. Your good works won't help Him. Your bad works wouldn't stop Him. His grace is sufficient. And His presence, that sovereignty that He wants to move with in this place, that sovereignty, I can taste it. I can taste it. He's just waiting to just hoover over this place. Hallelujah. It's like Jonah. In the book of Jonah, we find Jonah. God said, go up to Nineveh and preach 40 days and I'm going to destroy that place. Preach 40 days and that place is going to be totally destroyed. He goes after having his trouble. After walking in permission, he comes out and he decides, now I'm going to do it. You know, when you walk in permission, there's a prison for you. He ends up in prison in the belly of the whale. Comes out. And then he goes. He goes and he preaches. 40 days, going to fall. 40 days. My God, that time was a bad time. If you heard about Nineveh, they were really bad boys. They would capture the Jews. They would capture those people. They would dig holes, put you down there, put you and leave your head on and ride horses over you until you're dead, dead, dead. And we don't want to keep you blind. They would paste back your eyes and you face the hot sun. They were mean boys. That's where Jonah didn't want to go. He says, God has never sent any man to the heathens before. I'm not going. I'm going the other way. And besides, those guys are heathens. They're mean. I'm not going. They kill the Jews. I'm not going there. But God wanted to do something with that place because they were killing the Jews. So he goes up there. He preaches. Finally decides. Even the king himself declares a fast. Get saved. He himself declares a fast. Are you with me? He says, even animals, they're not going out. They're fasting. Everybody get on their knees. He lays down his royal robe. And all of a sudden, Jonah's upset because God says, I'm not going to destroy them. I'm going to leave them. What did those people do for God to have changed his mind? Something they did. Something. You have something to do with what God's doing in this earth. You have something to do with His sovereignty. You have something to do with the movement of His operation in the earth. And that operation that Jonah preached, those heathens, those guys who never, they got on their knees and they said, we're going to worship the God of Jonah, my God. And then Jonah, after all that, God said, I'm not going to destroy. Jonah get real mad. He says, better you kill me because you're messing up with my ministry. I'm a prophet of God and now they're going to think I'm a false prophet. Are you with me? He's worrying about his ministry. And God said, I'm not going to. He said, those people don't even know their right hand from their left hand. I'm not going to destroy them. What did they do? And we see Ruth. In Deuteronomy 23, God says, no Moabite will enter into my congregation, even unto the 10th generation. But here comes Ruth. Moabite. Moabite test. She says a prayer. She tells her mother-in-law, Naomi, she says, entreat me to follow you. He says, wherever you go, I'll go. Your people be my people. Your God be my God. Wherever they lay you, wherever you die, that's where I would die. Are you with me? What does she do for God to accept her in? That down the bloodline, she bore a son, Obed, father of Jesse, father of David. Down that line came Jesus. Are you with me? And you should understand, to be a Jew, you must be born from the womb of a Jew. And she was not a Jew. She was a Moabite. She entered in. She entered in. What does she do? What have we to do with what God is doing in the earth today? Hallelujah. What have we to do to move the hand of God the way that He says, I'm not going to do it. All of a sudden, He does it. Are you with me, church? All of a sudden, He does it. I'm not going to do it. Huh? No more Biden's going to enter in. Oh, Ruth, please, Ruth, enter in, Ruth. How? One prayer. One word she spoke to her mother. Jesus came down that aisle. And the Jews say, unless I see a Jewish woman carrying the baby, then I know that's a Jew. Because you can never tell who the father is, but we can tell who the mother is. And she entered in. Jesus came down that line. What have we to do with what God's doing in earth today? What have we to do moving the hand of God?
What human responsibility can alter sovereignty? What about this one? I come to Jesus. He says, Jesus, my family woman is sick. I need a miracle. Jesus says, listen to me. Let me tell you something. Matthew chapter 50. He says, listen, I'm not to give the bread of the children to dogs. What a way to talk to somebody, huh? But then she tells him, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. Even the dogs eat the crumbs. And on a crumb, she entered in to a miracle. He was talking of bread. She was talking of crumbs. And she entered in. Changed the mind of Jesus. Are you with me? What have you to do with the sovereignty of God? What have you doing to make God repent? Now you know who you are when he says, what is man that I'm mindful of him? What is man that I have a mind full of him? I'm just thinking about him all day. He's wanting to do things for you that he will not do ordinarily. Hello? He said to the Jew first, and then to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? If you knew that you could not fail, what would you do? What would you do for your Lord? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
On a crumb of bread, just a crumb. Enter in. She entered in. Just a crumb. Hallelujah. We give God the glory, don't we? Are you beginning to see something? Is your spirit moving with him? Are you with me? He wants you to move with him. I believe there's a place that is not final with God, no matter what he says. It's not final. Hallelujah. It's not final. It's not final. What he does, he opens the door and gives you the opportunity to see if you would take it or you would refuse it. Huh? Hello? Are you beginning to see there's a place with him based on his sovereignty? Because you're his son. Because you're his daughter. Because there's a place that is not final with God. And he leaves that door open to see if you would take it or refuse it. Just like your own children. It's not final. It's not final. It's not final with them. You leave a door open in your heart. Come on, church. Are you with me tonight? You leave a door open in your heart to see if they would take it or they would not take it. Hallelujah. That's how much he thinks about us. That's why revival is not a choice. It's the Father's business. Are you with me? Not a choice. It is his business. It's the only thing he wants. That the earth be covered with his glory. So that place is not final. That's what I come to realize. And if you can realize that, no matter what is said, still not final. Hallelujah. Are we having a good time? So we see we can alter some things. We can alter some things. Are you with me?
Yes.
We can alter some things. So a lot of things depend on us. And you take the rich young ruler for a minute, for example. He didn't say with his words, but by his action he spoke. That's his real conversation, his action. He says, Jesus, I cannot be a disciplined follower. He walked away sorrow. Jesus said, why? Why? Because in his heart he had an excuse. I got a lot of property. I got a lot of business. I got a lot of money. You want me to give it away? So he lied to Jesus. He says, I cannot be a disciplined follower. That's not the truth. That's what his action says. Give an excuse. So what is really an excuse? We come to find out, an excuse is like the stock and trade of a lying heart. It tells you a truth that's not true. Hello? It tells you a truth that's not true. So the truth is here, but it presents a truth that is true, but is not true. But God sees the real truth at the bottom. But between you and God, there's a truth that is not the real truth, but it's the truth. What are you talking about? Okay, I'll give you an example. Pastor said, we're having a feast at the church tonight. He said, Pastor, I can't come. Why? I just bought a piece of land. I got to go prove it. So, you got a piece of land? Yeah. You close on it? Yeah, close on it. You got a title? Yeah, I got the deed. So it's your land? Yeah, it's my land. Oh, okay. But the feast is at night. You're going to prove the land at night? Oh, Pastor, it's my land. I can prove it anytime. So you have to excuse me. So God now is looking at the truth that you put up before Him. But the real truth is at the bottom there of our hearts. So we present a truth. Yes, it is true. You bought a land. Yes, it is true. You closed the deal. Yes, it is true. It is your land. Yes, it is true. You're going to prove that land. But you know something? You're not going to prove that land at 8 o'clock at night. So God has to get past this lie or this truth to come to see the real truth. He can only attach himself to the real truth. So this truth is keeping him away from the real truth. So why can't you come to the feast? Just married myself a wife. I'm a family man now. Oh, you are? Yes, I'm a family man. Okay, so I can't come. Why? My wife. I know my wife. She won't come. Oh, no problem. Leave her. Come. No, I can't do that. Well, bring her. No, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't go anywhere without my wife. That's not the real truth. But we want God to move in it. Are you with me? Now, we're not talking about the blatant lies out there. We're talking about the movement of the Spirit. The movement of the Spirit with pure hearts and a clean hands. If we're going to move to perfection, we've got to go beyond the little ones that spoil it. Are you with me? They're all truth. But they're not the real truth. Are you with me, church? And they're existing in the church. And I began to talk to the Lord. He said, this is the problem. He said, there's a truth. That's not the truth. But it's standing there. And I come. There's a time that I turn that lie into a truth. Just like he turned that lie into the truth with that rich young ruler. He says, yes, that's true. You can never serve me. Go ahead and serve what you're serving. It's okay. You be right there. Well, I can't come to the feast, Pastor. Why? The baby, I got a baby. I got to take care of the baby. In the meantime, you tell the pastor, another woman come with two babies in her hand. One baby in her hand, two on the side. I said, Pastor, I'm coming to the feast. And you know, is there anything you want me to do? And you're standing right there and God is unveiling the hypocrisy of the truth that you're presenting. You're presenting that is not the real truth. Are you with me? But you come to church late. Oh, Pastor, the traffic was bad. Really? Yeah. Pastor was really bad. It was an accident over there. Yeah, you forgot to tell Pastor that you woke up 20 minutes late and the traffic was only 5 minutes delayed. Hallelujah. But then you get in the prayer line that very minute. The truth, the lie is still standing before the throne of God. And you're in the prayer line. You say, God, I've been praying this prayer for 15 years. I can't seem to have you move in my life. How can he move in your life? Because each time he's coming, there is a truth at the bottom that says, I slept late. And the truth is here of this traffic jam. And God says, remove that. Repent. Get that thing out of my way. If not, I'm not coming. There's no power. And the church has received so much revelation. But God is saying, I'm leaving a door open for you. It's not final, church. I found out it's not final. Hallelujah. It's not final. It's not final. Depends on you. It's not final. That's where you know I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. They say, no, it's not final. Are you with me? It's not final. What did the doctor say? It's not final. Like God says, it's final. Even according to this word, he says, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. He changed his mind. He says, no foreigner will enter into my congregation
Even that gave birth to the Prince of Peace. Oh, come on, church. But truth was there. Listen to that prayer that Ruth prayed. Pure truth. Are you with me? So there's something with the heart. There's something with the heart that keeps God from attaching himself to what we're doing. Because like Elisha put his hand on the hand of the king and the bow and the arrow, that prayer of agreement. God needs an agreement with you. He needs to come. Purity. Hallelujah. What can you do? What part have you to play in what God's going to do? What part have you to play when God had to operate in this place? You see, when he began to shine that searchlight in our hearts, he always tells us, if we really want to be honest, he always tells us why the prayer wasn't answered. He's always trying to tell us. If we're not listening, it comes from somewhere, but there's a remembrance of it. It comes up in our spirit, why it wasn't answered. Are you guys with me tonight?
Yes.
So you go into the store. Businessman, see a big old sign there for the blind. You take your money out. You put your money in the bucket. You say, yeah, some blind person gonna see. You put your money in there. And when you leave, he takes the money. He buys himself a blind for the curtain, for the window. He said, yes, but I said it was for the blind. Yes, I didn't say it was for the blind eyes. I said it was the blind for my window. Are you guys with me? Now you're understanding. People do that in business too. Hallelujah. Are you with me today?
Hallelujah.
I know we're laughing about it, but that's it. That's what we're looking at in the church. It's not final, church. For us to move in that realm, it's clean hands, pure heart. Can turn the heart of God, change the mind of God. The supernatural can become like water. So what is the fine line? The fine line that makes that difference is that truth that you present to him. Are you with me tonight? The fine line between those who are happening in their lives and those who are not happening in their lives is the truth that is the foundation and is presented the same to him. It's a fine line. So when something's wrong with the story, he can't move on it. Are you with me tonight?
Hallelujah.
I talk a little bit about that truth that's not the truth. It is the truth, yeah, but it's not the real truth. It's like the man for the blind. Yeah, it's for the blind. But it's not for the blind that you thought you were buying. You know what I'm talking about. When you walk in, you didn't think it was a blind for his window. It's that kind of truth I'm talking about. That kind of truth never fits God's presence. And when you get it, when you find out it doesn't fit your heart also, it hurts you. It destroys things. No matter how they explain, it's not true. It's like going around a mountain. It's like trying to divide 10 cents or $10 between three people. 3 into 10, go three times. 3 times 3, 9. One left over. You put a point and you bring down to 0. 3 into 3, go three times. One left over. The recurring decimal, it keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. The lie keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. It never stops. Are you with me, church? That's the sin of the recurring decimal. The line never stops. It keeps going. It keeps going. Because somebody looks at it and say, there's something wrong with this. You say, oh yes, but you put that point, but, and you put another zero and you go again with it. Are you with me, church? That's what we're talking about. But the truth fits perfectly. Nothing left over. Nothing to be added. Nothing to be taken away. God comes and he blesses it. Are you with me? That's where we operate at. That's where the fine line is. That's where the fine line is. That's where the glory is. That's where it fits. That's where the peace is. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says we should. We should stay away from it. Because what happens? If you're caught, in Matthew, he says, Jesus said, agree with your adversary quickly on the way. Because he can turn you over. Turn you over. And they put you in prison. And when you get in prison, you pay the full price. So if Jesus is saying that you pay the full price, you will pay the full price. And why pay the full price? Right now, many of us are paying the full price of not having the Father do special things for us. Of not having the Father tell us to enter into that place. That is not final. Are you with me? That place is there. I've not been able to. We're never able to see that place. But it's there for us. It's there for us to enter in and just receive and just drink of it and just bask in that special. Doesn't it make you feel like you're special when it's not final with your daddy? Doesn't it make you feel like a special son? When it's not final? Yes. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us truth. In Proverbs 23 and 23, it tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy the truth. You can't get it for nothing. You can get grace free. But the truth, you're going to pay for it. It's going to cost you something. Are you with me? And that's why people put another truth before that truth. Because it's going to cost something. It's going to cost your friendship with others. It's going to cost a promotion. It's going to cost your reputation. It's going to cost something, church. That's why many fail to enter into that place. Because the truth comes. And they say, my God, the price. This price is going to cost me. I don't want to pay it. So they present another truth. But it's costing you more. Because you buy the truth. It's not free. It has never been free. God says you pay for it. And many of us will come to the store where they sell the truth. We look at the price tag. We say, We get up to the counter. We say, No. I'm not paying for it. I'm not doing it. So we move. The thing about it is, when we move, we think we're moving on with God. No, we're not. We're moving around because I don't know how long it's going to take you, but we're going to have to come back to that truth again. And we're going to look at the price tag again. We're going to look at it already. We're going to see the price. But this time, the second time you come around, the price is higher. You're going to have to pay it now. Inflation on the truth is going up. We see them come out of Egypt, over 2 million, for them to go into the promised land. They just went around. They went around. Each time they came to the truth, they couldn't make it. Are you with me, church? Yes. Only two entered in. What a price to pay. What a price to pay. Buy the truth. It's expensive. It costs you. It costs you things. You die. You die. It costs you things. It costs you time. You die. It costs you. It costs. It costs. It costs. But you pay it now because tomorrow is going to cost you more. How are you ever going to see that place that is not final if you refuse to pay for the truth? Are you ever going to see it? Are you ever going to see it? That revival? The truth is not the only thing you have to pay for. So you pay for wisdom. You pay for instruction. You pay for understanding. It's not free. I remember when I first came to New York, Africa. I was smart. Walking down the street in Manhattan. Three-card Monty. Anybody know what a three-card Monty is? Okay. Put the cards on the table. And the guy go, flip, 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 flip. Show me where the king is. He said, here. I said, yeah, that's right. Okay, $20. I can do it. You can't do it. So I said, I'm going to beat you again. I put my $20 down. I said, I'm going to win his $20. He goes, flip, 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 flip. He said, now where it is? I said, here, you flip it over. He said, no, it's not, it wasn't. He took my $20. I had to pay for it. The next time I saw Three Cup Monty, I have paid for wisdom. I passed right by it. Because I realized the hands faster than the eye. I didn't know that before. Of course, man. What are you going to do about that place we've been talking about? That's not final. What are you going to do? It's open to you. I don't know how wide is your circle. I don't know if you've been around. You look at the truth. I don't know. You say, I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to wait. It's not going to be discounted. It's going to be increased. So I'm going to wait. Maybe I can get it free. You're moving around. You're not moving on. Just like those in the wilderness. They move around. You just move around for 40 years. How big was the cycle? I don't know. Move around. Move around. Even those that went in and saw it, they came back and said, no, 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 no. They brought the fruits from it. No, no, no. They refuse. What about you? There is a place that the Father has for those who love Him that is not final. It's open. Will you refuse it or would you accept it? I don't know how big is your cycle. I don't know if you've ever been around, but I've been around the mountain. In the world they say, go around the mountain till she comes. I realize she doesn't come. She never came. Anybody saw her? She never came. Nobody seen her before. So now you understand. Pay the price. Now you understand. Are you with me tonight? It's a fine line. You can cross it. You can cross it. Enter that place where the oil doesn't stop. Where you don't stop stumping, stumping, and stumping. Where you can enter in on the size of a crumb. It's a place where the words that come out of your mouth in a prayer can give you access. It's a place where your heart is so right, there's absolutely nothing you can do. He just shows up and does it for you. There is a place where He expects you, like the persistent widow against that judge, consistently, persistently, until He says, will not God answer their prayers? Those who cry unto Him day and night will constantly make it possible for you? Or like the persistent friend who kept knocking on the door, and because of his importunity, he received everything that he needed. Isn't there a place like that for you? There is. You can see it with the eye of your spirit. And I invite you tonight to leave where you are and go there. To leave where you are and go there. I invite you to leave where you are, if you know what I'm talking about, and go there. If you don't leave, you won't go. But you have to leave to go. Now is the time to leave, even though you're seated in these chairs, and go. Time to leave and go. Got to pay for it. Got to buy the truth. It's going to cost you, but now it's cheaper than tomorrow. I want to set your hearts tonight. Because just like Elijah took his hand, he just agreed with the king. That's what I want to do with you tonight. I just want to take my hand and just agree with you. And let the arrow of your deliverance fly.
You have to shoot them. Are you with me tonight? So if you, the Holy Spirit has been working with, been showing you, and you're at that place. You're at that place. You've seen it. You've seen it. Because you're the one he's talking. It's a good time to come, and I just want to join my faith with you and declare certain things in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Are you with me tonight? Because we're going to perfection. Hallelujah. See, I'm only here to minister what the Lord gives me. That's all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.